Welcome, everyone, to the Third Space Podcast. I'm your host, Bob Fabey, and what you are about to hear is a sermon that I gave on Zacchaeus. Everyone knows that Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Not many of you may have thought about Jesus' interaction with him the way that this sermon enters into it. So I hope that you're able to listen and take away part of what it is that I think that we're called to do as Christians and model the way that Jesus interacted with Zacchaeus.
Father, we ask that you would be present to us now by your Holy Spirit in a way that we understand what you have written to us. God, I pray that anything that I say that is of you, that it would remain. If it's from me, Lord, may it be blown away as chaff so that there may be fruit and that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. For those of you who don't know, my name is Bob Fabey. I'm a priest in residence here. I serve the community at the pleasure of Rector Peter Smith, and I'm grateful to be with you this morning. I get to preach from Luke chapter 19. I'm going to be reading that passage again in just a few moments, but I wanted to start out by, saying, Yahoo, it's summer. Right, Yahoo? Right, everybody's excited. There's nothing like summer break. I remember feeling like, yeah, summer, and since we moved to Arizona, I don't really say, yeah, summer. But I do remember that feeling of like being out from underneath the school kind of structures and going, okay, great, I'm not in class anymore, and particularly because I wasn't a great student, even in my younger years especially, I struggled. Mostly not with the topics, but with me and how I related to the teachers and things like that. Maybe some of you can identify. You're looking at me like you can't. So I was that guy in that class. So a lot of my time in school was spent with, okay, I'm the guy in the back cracking jokes. I still do that in meetings. If you've been in a meeting with me, I can't help it. But I would be kind of the guy in class who was making a problem. That was me. I was carrying around a lot of anger. A lot of pain as a young man. I was picked on. There was lots of stuff going on, and I backed out in class a lot. And I had this teacher. His name was Mr. Jones, and Mr. Jones was a science teacher. So whatever image just came up in your head with a science teacher, that was Mr. Jones. Okay, skinny guy, kind of bony, right? Balding here and hair here. Am I right? I don't resemble that, which is good. But he had some glasses on, and Mr. Jones had a finger that was odd. It was shaped. It was like 3 feet long at the end of his hand, and he would point it at me frequently because of my disruptive nature. And I would frequently run across Mr. Jones in a negative way, and he would try to help me not be disruptive by inviting me to stay in the hallway or things like that. It was always really kind of him. He was always looking out for me. But I acted in a way that it wasn't a good thing. It was a problem, and I was causing a problem way too much. And Mr. Jones tried kind of all of the ways that you can try to help somebody behave well. And being a teacher for a couple years, I understand the classroom dynamics. I probably would have killed me if I were one of those people. One time, Mr. Jones, I had said something inappropriate. Mr. Jones was trying to get at me. And what was happening was I was really wrestling through just a lot of ouch. And I was doing it poorly. And I had a hard time believing that Mr. Jones actually cared. And Mr. Jones was giving me lecture, and the 3 foot finger was coming out and kind of poking me, and talking to me. And in this moment of just perfect clarity, of a 13-year-old smart boy, I batted his hand away and I punched him in the chest. Now, on a scale of smart and things that you should do, it doesn't really register at all. And I'm really grateful because Mr. Jones, all he did was he bent down, and I just remember this, like, it was like Ichabod Crane kind of staring down at me, and the finger came out and it went into my chest and pushed me into the wall. And he said, "Don't you ever do that again." And what I didn't know was that Mr. Jones was for me and he was trying to help me. I was just pushing back against everything I could, and I was just pushing back and pushing back. And he was looking past so much of the things that he saw me do. What he saw me do was, "Hey, you're disruptive, you're disrespectful, you know, you crack jokes, you blah, 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 blah." And he looked past all that, and he was trying to help, but I was bringing him to the end of where he wanted to help me kind of rapidly. So he decided to take a totally different tact. And he asked me to stay in for lunch, which we had lunch together every once in a while, you know, and he said, "Hey, I have an assignment for you. I want you to do this thing for me." And he had me get out a piece of paper, and he said, "I want you to draw a line down the middle of this paper." He said, "I want you to list all of the things that you don't like about yourself on the left side of this paper. And when you're done with that, I want you to list on the right side all of the things that you do like about yourself." So I sat in at lunch, and I decided to take the right side of the paper first, and I maybe wrote like two or three things. But the left side, I just kind of kept going. And I wrote quite a list of the things that I didn't like about who I was. And then Mr. Jones gets out a piece of paper, and it's divided down the middle, and it says things I like about Bob and things I don't like about Bob. And the things that he liked about Bob were really long. And the things that he didn't like about Bob were really short. And he was like, "This is how I see you. This is what I want to call out in you." And in his defense, he was like, "I don't know how to do this." And if you've ever been a teacher, you know that that's really hard to do with kids who don't believe that's who they are. Now, I would love to tell you that I took that note and it was like I framed it and I lived my life in light of how Mr. Jones saw me, right? I didn't. But what I did do and what Christ did with that was put an anchor somehow in me in a way that said, "There's more to you than what I see, or more to you than what you are doing, more to you than the way that you're acting out." And it could be that you've had people do that for you. Maybe somebody has looked at your behavior and said, "Okay, I see your behavior, but I know there's more to you than your behavior. You aren't just this thing that you do. You just aren't the kid who's disruptive in class. You know, you're not just that mistake you made however long ago. You're more than the thing that you keep tripping over." I mean, maybe somebody's done that for you. And the thing that I think is really critical for us as Christians is that we follow a guy who did that for people all the time. And it's really weird, but when you start looking at the scriptures in that kind of capacity, you run across stories like we read, and I'm going to read it again, but the story of Zacchaeus is a story where Jesus did that very thing. And it's a bit odd because Jesus does absolutely no teaching in this passage. He says nothing. Normally, there's an interchange. You know, when somebody comes up, "What do I do to inherit life?" And then Jesus goes into a deductive message about, "Oh, well, what would you do?" And he goes and asks questions, and then there's this grain of thing, right? And that's not what we get here. That's not what we get. So Luke 19, verse 1. Jesus enters Jericho and was passing through. Okay? It's not where he stopped. "And there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy." Okay, so again, you know, here's Rome. Rome says, "We want taxes for the people that we're oppressing. We're going to hire one of them to collect taxes against their own people." That's not a good position to be in. And then you're going to be a chief tax collector, which means you're going to collect the taxes that the other tax collectors collect. And what Zacchaeus then would do is take a percentage off of everybody's taxes. Right? One for you, two for me. Two for you, four for me. Then nobody would appreciate that. You know, so if you owed Rome $10, Zacchaeus would say, you owe Rome $15. Thank you very much. Put it in his pocket. And so tax collectors were one of your own people and people who were robbing you blind. So when you think about people in society that you feel that way about, that's what Zacchaeus was like. Okay. He wanted to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Now, I'm going somewhere literally, okay? I'm thinking he may have been close to a dwarf, okay? You guys know the song, the little children's song? Zacchaeus, go ahead. Okay, let's say it together. Zacchaeus. So apparently he's Scottish, which is really weird because I don't see any Scottish people in here. But he was a wee little man. And what if you know what you know about first century history is that people didn't have access to the food sources that we have today. The people weren't tremendously large. So an average person, first century Jew, is probably 5'6", maybe 5'4". Zacchaeus can't see over the crowd. Now, think about what that's like. Is anybody in here really upset about being short, Mom? Anyways, if there's anybody in this room who gets frustrated about being short, listen, it's that whole, your whole life, that's who you are. Oh, you want me to get that for you? I got you. Oh, I didn't see you. I overlooked you. You know, there's all the short jokes, right? And Zacchaeus would have grown up with that. Because who was he? He's the short guy in class. He's the guy who has to sit up at the front of the class because if he sits in the back, he can't see, right? And all the jokes and all the Zacchaeus. So he wanted to see Jesus, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. So you have a man who may possibly have dwarf syndrome, who's really rich, who climbs up in a tree, which is completely undignified. You would never see somebody in that position do that thing. So it's not as if he was a royal, but it was somebody of import, and you would never expect to see somebody like that up in a tree, especially a wee Scottish guy. And so you go like, okay, he's clearly doing things that are outside the norm of what you would expect. And if I'm sitting there and I know that Jesus is coming and I'm excited to see Jesus, I'm like, oh, that little jerk, Zacchaeus, who takes our money and he's too short, he's climbed up in the tree. What an idiot. Right? And what happens? Jesus comes into town and he looks up at the tree, and this is where the song drives me crazy, right? What somebody help me with the song, because Zacchaeus, you come down, because I'm staying at your house. What? I think a mom wrote that song, right? Because if there's a guy who climbs up in the tree, the guy's like, okay, man, that's awesome. Come on, jump. We're good, you know? The mom's like, get down right now, right? And Jesus doesn't walk up to Zacchaeus and say that. It's not like he wags his finger at him. He says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house. Now, you know what it's like when people visit, right? In our home, truth be told, the house isn't always pristine all the time, most of the time. And if people are coming over, there's this frenetic thing that occurs before the arrival. Am I alone in this? Okay, good, okay. All right, so we're not alone, that's good. All right, so it's like, hey, somebody's coming over, guess what's gonna happen? We're gonna go crazy, we're gonna try to make sure everything's squared away, okay, and then the door opens and everybody's, hey. So glad you're here, right? And the reality is that oftentimes it's because it's about us. I don't want people to see the fact that I haven't cleaned the house, or what do they think if they saw the dishes, or what would happen if, right? And in this context, it was a huge honor to host someone. I mean, Zacchaeus isn't prepared, but Jesus says, I'm coming to your home. And for Zacchaeus, that's a mind blower. Like, wait, the most important guy in the region, what? He wants to come and stay at my house? Really? Maybe he doesn't know. I mean, maybe he doesn't know that I'm just a tax collector. Maybe he doesn't know that I defraud people. Maybe he's not aware that I'm that Zacchaeus. I'm the one who has to sit up in front and everybody makes fun of because I'm little. Maybe he doesn't know. And Jesus says, I'm coming to your home. And Jesus is just putting this huge honor on Zacchaeus. I'm coming to you. I want to bless you. So Zacchaeus gladly welcomes him. Are you kidding? I mean, I would love that, right? Now, if Jesus said he wants to come to my house, I would freak out, right? Zacchaeus does whatever he can do, probably, to welcome Jesus. So Jesus goes to him. And the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Why would Jesus spend time with somebody like that? I mean, Zacchaeus, if you look, he's got everything wrong with him. And he's rich, which probably twists the knife even more. But Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. So are there math people in here? Are there? Anyone? Because I'm not that. I'm the other. Okay, so you math people, try to help me with this. I'm giving away 50%. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, which pretty much means everybody in the region, I will pay back 4 times the amount. I'm not good at math, but that means Zacchaeus has given up everything. Right? I mean, you take him up on that offer, and he's shilling it out. He's not going to have stuff left because it's 4 times. Right. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Right. There's no salvation message in this passage. There was no teaching here. There was teaching, but it wasn't what we would think should happen in that way, right? That Jesus does something with Zacchaeus that Mr. Jones did with me. He imparted dignity to Zacchaeus. Just by being Jesus and by Zacchaeus being Zacchaeus, I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to value you because I'm with you. I'm here with you. I am Jesus. And I'm here with you. And that's enough for Zacchaeus to change the course of his life. Because Jesus looked past what he saw. He looked past the guy who was really tiny. He looked past the guy who was super rich. He looked past the guy who was used by Rome or hated by the people. He looked past all the way that Zacchaeus might have thought about himself. And he brought dignity to Zacchaeus because of who Zacchaeus was. If I had a $50 bill, okay, and I said, who wants it, right? Who would want it, okay, right? Now, if I took it and I crumpled it up and I made it all wrinkled and I said, who wants it? Would you still want it? Yeah. What if I took that and I threw it on the ground and I stepped on it? Would you still want it? Why? It still holds its value, doesn't it? Jesus is saying that's the same thing of people. They still hold their value. And he calls us to to be the people who seek and save that which is lost. We will look on the outside and sure enough, we will see people who are lost, who are acting out, who are behaving in ways that you look at and you think, oh my gosh, what are they doing? And it's easy for us to want to respond to their behavior. It's so easy. Oh, they're one of them. They like the U of A. Right? You could do that, or you could look past that. Past what it is that they're doing and how they're doing and what they're to see their actual value. What is the value that they have? Because Jesus did this on a consistent basis, and then he says, go and be my disciples, love people with all you got, seek and save that which is lost. And I gotta tell you, we really live in a place where we have a lot of opportunity. But we have to be the kind of people who can see what's going on and see past what's happening for somebody. They're not just drug addicted. They're a child of God who's forgotten who they are. They're not just angry. They're actually in pain, and there's a reason that they're in pain, and we can actually see past that to actually who Christ would say that they are. And who Christ says that they are is made in God's image. Zacchaeus was an image bearer of the Most High. He wasn't a tax collector. And I got to tell you, I get sick to my stomach when I hear Christians, oh, they're liberal. They're a Democrat. Blech. They're Republican. Blech. I want to vomit. Because that is getting caught up in something that Christ would never have got caught up in and calls us not to get caught up in, but to see past that. Oh, well, this person votes this way. This person thinks this way. And it's like, wait, what? Are we the sum of that? Or is there something more that Christ is calling us to impart to people around us? And I think there is. Being able to see past those things in other people means that we actually see what God sees. And the reality is that it could be that the most important person for you to see past those behaviors in is you. It could be that you are the one who needs to hear what's true about you. Not about what you think of yourself and not about how you assume you are based on A, your mistakes or your past or the way that you think or what you've done or how you vote or what your job is and all those things, in the same way that Zacchaeus was just a wee little tax collector. He was more, and so are you. You are more. You are an image bearer of the Most High. And Christ comes to you the same way that he came to Zacchaeus. He comes to you and says, I want to be present to you in such a way that it's transformative in you. And then I want you to go do that with others. With people you don't like and people you don't agree with. I want you to bring that same dignity to them instead of gossiping and pointing fingers and marginalizing and doing all the things that we are really good at doing when we don't receive the dignity that Christ has for us. The key to this passage when Jesus is talking is he says, listen, I came to seek and save that which is lost. And from this passage, one of the primary ways that Christ does that is by imparting dignity. Just bringing dignity. Looking past behaviors to actually who the person is. So this morning, I would encourage you to allow Christ to speak truth to you about who you are. Allow him to see past some of the things that you would put up in your mind about who you are. And then ask God to show you who in your world is crying out for a Mr. Jones moment. And I'm not saying you got to sit down with a piece of paper and write down and do all that stuff. I'm not saying that. But ask Christ, What would it look like for me to bring dignity and value to them? How can I do that? So that we would be a people who are creatively engaged in seeking and saving that which is lost. Amen? Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. Hope you enjoyed the sermon. And as always, you can like and find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or at bobfaby.com. And I trust that you have many, many blessings today. Grace and peace to you.